So you've got a new project up your sleeve, and you want to make a film. Actually, you did kind of, last time I interviewed you, you were talking about wanting to do this. So this is a film about immigration, and I guess you're an immigrant, so that might answer the why question.
Yeah, it's a documentary about the link between mental health and migration.
Yeah.
What people could possibly go through emotionally, and as well as just physically by moving through that transition. And it is for, I guess, both migrants and others that never migrated to another place, for them to have a better understanding of what it can be like.
So this film is to help people understand.
Yeah, to basically help people understand, but also to provide a safe space for migrants to be, for their stories to be told. Since I've lived in Raglan in the past 5 years, I've met a lot of migrants. And there's a lot of stories that are untold when it comes more to like the kind of bureaucratic side of it, I guess. There's some difficulties, or the rules are changing often, or people thought they would be getting their residency within X amount of time, and finally it doesn't work out that way. But we kind of stay silent, or we talk about it between us, but I think that a lot of people fear to share their stories because they fear losing their status. So
how would that work? Why do they think they'd lose their status if they told their stories?
I don't know. I think
there's just generally a feeling of fear, I guess.
Yeah, just I think if you talk badly, like for example, I've had some issues when I was immigrating, and I felt like if you talk badly about immigration, about some situations that were difficult, I find that we fear that they could, because they're the ones who have our applications in their hands, and often you never meet those people who are in charge of your file.
Yeah.
And they're just on, you could possibly talk to them on the internet through emails, but very rarely. So it's kind of, yeah, it's all up in the air, and you know there's someone that's taking care of your case, and I don't know. But I definitely feel that fear of speaking out, we just want to act right to be sure that we're going to get of thing.
So what's your immigration status now?
I'm a temporary resident.
Okay. What is that? I mean, we know what those two words mean, but what does it mean for you and with the things we don't know about, like what can you do and what can't you do?
I can stay in the country. I need to be in the country at least six months per year for the next 2 years, and in 2 years, and I can work as well and just be here and live my life. And in 2 years, I need to apply for a permanent residency. And both permanent resident and a citizen have similar rights. So I need to wait. And I can't apply for lots of art funding. That's another story.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah.
But you have a partner here. So this is part of, this is your foot in the door kind of thing?
No, we were on a partner visa. Then through him, yes, I could apply for my residency. But now we're not connected anymore in terms of paper. Like I've got my own independent residency.
So you don't, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I've known of people who've like, as soon as their residencies or some level's gone through, immediately their relationship's,
yeah, I've heard similar stories as well of people just kind of using people.
You're not worried about that. Well, even relationships that started out as quite serious and people thought it was going to last, and then,
well, it can happen as well that like it can be a weird timing, but some relationship just like naturally ends at the same time that the person gets their residency. And there's also, I feel like, a bit of in my situation, I didn't feel that, but I have heard of situations where it feels like there's a weird energy within the relationship, because the other person is kind of your doorway to staying. And it feels like, oh, maybe the relationship is not going well, but I'm going to stay with you just because I need my papers. So I've heard of stories like that, or couples that were just like, okay, we're going to say we're together just so you get, if they were ending it in good terms, okay, we're going to say that you're still with me, but we're not together until you get your residency, and then we can like really separate.
And you end up in gray areas. Okay, so where are we going with this? You want to make a film. But it's difficult because you don't get, like, so for back a step, a lot of filmmakers in New Zealand can get arts funding, can't they?
So there's a bit of a loop. I've been having conversations with New Zealand Film Commission because I was about to apply, thinking I could apply as a temporary resident now. But turns out that everyone in the team has to be either a permanent resident or citizen of New Zealand. And there's also another loop. So they have a fund that's called Documentary Development Fund. So it is focused on documentary making. To have access to this fund, you need to have under your belt 80 minutes of filmed showcased that you either produced or directed, or being the screenwriter for that documentary.
You've got a 15-minute film, I know, you made.
Yeah, but you need 80 minutes. Okay. Wait, that's not all.
Okay.
That needs to be showcased in a high-end festival or recognized institutions.
And there's not a lot of documentary film festivals. Is the Raglan Film Festival a high-end festival?
No.
No, I didn't know.
They have a list. So they have like the Berlin Festival, the Sundance Festival, Cannes Festival, those kind of... Yeah. So... I'm having a meeting next week with the head of department of New Zealand Commission because I was unhappy with the answer that they gave me. I've asked them, they didn't answer that question about the whole, I feel in a loop, like how is someone supposed to be producing a documentary worthy of being picked in one of those high-end festivals if they're not in the first place able to apply for funding because they don't have 80 minutes showcase. You know, like, how do you start, basically?
Yeah, you have to start on your own.
I guess so. But to produce such a wonderful documentary with no funding.
Yeah, I know. It's obviously really difficult.
Yeah.
But you're going... So what are you doing then? So far, you've said either way, however you look at it, it's going to be tricky for you to get some funding support.
Yeah, exactly. What I'm doing is a crowdfunding, and it just sounds like the only kind of pathway for me to get some help to be able to produce that film. So I'm asking the public and everyone who is interested or cares about either you're a migrant or you're feeling close to the subject, or about mental health as well. And I've been approaching as well mental health organizations or migrants kind of groups. But the launching is tomorrow. And
you're launching tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. And what exactly are you launching? The crowdfunding?
The crowdfunding, okay. Yes.
Okay. And do you want to tell people how they can, where or how? Well?
Yeah. So if you go on Boosted New Zealand, which is like Kickstarter or GoFundMe kind of website where you do the crowdfunding, and you just type in Black Rainbow, which is the name of the documentary, it should pop up. And yeah, that's pretty much the only way.
Just a Google search.
Yeah. And the other way, my name is Elizabeth Dennis. If ever you can't find it, you're welcome to reach out to me either on Instagram or Facebook.
Do we need to explain the spelling?
Yeah. So Elizabeth is Elisabeth. And last name Dennis, Dennis. So only one N and not a Z, but an S in Elizabeth.
People should be able to cope with that.
Yeah.
So talk about the mental health stuff, because people don't really know. Like you say, a lot of immigrants kind of stay silent. Or they probably tell their people close to them what's going on, but I haven't really heard a lot of difficulties. You have a Do you want to talk about your story?
I can.
I meant to ask this before we went on the air.
Yeah, I can. And in the, I've produced the trailer as well, which is on the crowdfunding page, you people can see. And in the trailer, I've talked about those are all real narratives, but just to give an idea of the things that I want to talk about in that documentary. So one of the story is, for example, there's a worker that a friend of mine knows of, and he is on a work sponsored visa, and he's from India, and he's getting paid $350 a week, and he's doing 10 hours a day of work, 6 days a week.
I've heard a lot of stories like this. Basically, because their immigration status is dependent on their work, that the employer has quite a stronghold over their staff, and there are employers, quite a few apparently, who abuse that power.
And you know, and that's when I think I talk about the fear of speaking out, because if you do and you complain and it's like, okay, well, go back to your country, I'm going to cancel the work visa, you know, that's the bit, that kind of fear that is held over people. And then the other story, my own story is basically when I was in the process of waiting for my partner visa with my partner, they took a lot of time, and therefore I was just on a tourist visa during that time, and I got pregnant, and then I had a miscarriage, and I couldn't have any support because of my visa status, so I couldn't get access to a midwife, or even the clinic here in Raglan wouldn't take me because I didn't have papers.
So if the baby had gone to term, you wouldn't have had a midwife either.
Only if I would go privately, but of course at that point I haven't been able to work for almost like not because I was pregnant, just because we've been waiting at that point for at least maybe 5 or 6 months, where I couldn't work because I didn't have I wasn't on a partner visa, so I couldn't work for a long time, therefore I don't have money to go to a private clinic. That would have been the only way to go private, basically.
So what sort of help do you normally get in this country if you've had a miscarriage?
I believe that you might be eligible to have some time off work. I'm not sure about this, but I think so. And you would get some, if you go see the doctor, you could get a therapist to talk with about it. Yeah. I think they give you like 10 free sessions. When you have a miscarriage, you can bleed. So I bled for 8 days, but you can bleed for only 2 days if you go to the doctor and they give you some pills, so it goes faster doesn't last for a long time. So that's the sort of help that I could have get, and I could have had like a midwife just to be with me and talk with me during that time of pregnancy.
So you're just reliant on people in your social circles for support.
Yeah, in that time, yeah. Until I had the visa. That was like, I got the visa, I think, 8 months after that happened.
So how traumatic was that time?
Yeah, that was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, no more details, but... That's a big loophole for people. Like, yeah, you're supposed to have, I guess if you're a tourist, you're supposed to have travel insurance, but that's you're not really a tourist, so it's just a tourist visa.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess for me, like, I would have liked to be, because I've been here for 5 years and a half, you know, and I've paid taxes and I've worked in this country, and if I was like a fresh new tourist, well, I'll... Saying that, I wish that they could support anybody that it would happen to, you know, even a tourist who didn't have any insurance, just to be like, of course we're gonna, you know, look after you, but of course on the financial side of things, I don't know how it all works, but that they would consider, hey, this person has been on, I've been on two working holiday visa in this country, and I've been on the partner visa before then. You know, I had been there for 4 years at that point in New Zealand. Yeah.
All right. So there's one thing I want to bring up before we go is there's obviously anti-immigration sentiment is a real thing, and some politicians use that to whip up a bit of support for themselves.
Hmm.
Is that, I doubt that you've faced a lot of that personally, but when you go to make a film like that, this is something that could bring that on. Is that something you're worried about?
Worried about politicians?
Well, not politicians, but just general anti-immigrant sentiment, or there just might just be a lack of sympathy.
There will always be, but I think that the film I'm wanting to produce will be important because as we speak, like, there's more and more movement all around the world as there are more natural disasters happening, political tensions, wars. So multiculturalism is a reality and will become even more of a reality in the next few years. So, I think we should just see anyone who's on this land as, you know, hopefully that would be in the perfect world, but as a group together instead of trying to make all these different categories of...
So what do you need at this point? Obviously, you need funding. Are you still looking for people with stories to tell for the film?
Mm. There's another story in Raglan of a couple who had a kid at Raglan Area School. And because of the time that it took as well to get their visa, they had to take their kids out of school for a period of time. So that's another story that I'll be talking about or collecting soon. But anyways, to go back to your story, sorry, that just popped into my head. Yes, I'm open to be speaking with people who would want their stories to be told. And it is possible for everybody to remain anonymous.
That could be important.
Especially
for some of that sort of employer abuse stuff that's going on. I've read a little bit about that in the past. It's definitely a real issue, and I think it's probably way bigger than we realize because the need for silence for the people, the victims, is so huge.
I've made some masks for people to wear to remain anonymous, or the other alternative is to tell your story and record it, and then I can change the voice, alter it, and someone else will tell your story instead of you, but the narrative remains true.
You can go that far as well, like they can write it down and
okay.
All right, folks, we've been talking to Elizabeth Dennis, and what's your funding website again?
It's on New Zealand NZ Boosted. If you look up on the internet, NZ Boosted, and the film is called Black Rainbow.
All right. And the trailer, actually, we'll put the trailer on our Facebook for the radio station as well.
Thank you.
Get it out there. Thanks for coming in.